It's amazing. Most people, the only thing they know about the devil is what they've seen in Hollywood. And their perception of the devil is obviously one from movies or something like that. Couldn't be farthest from the truth. There's a big difference between cinematography and what the Bible says about it. Now, what you need to know about the devil is this, and let me just tell you this before we get into this. Whatever you learn about the devil needs to stay from the Bible. I know Christians that have literally gotten into trouble because they started buying books on witchcraft and all this other garbage. You don't need to know anything about the devil other than what's in the Bible. That's what's safe. But you don't need to go out and buy 3 books on the occult or Satanism or witchcraft or any other stuff that you'll hear mentioned tonight. Stay with the Bible and that's safe. It's amazing what Christians will expose themselves to, and if you expose yourselves to too much, you open up a doorway. By allowing that in your life, then those spirits say, okay, you're saved, but you're playing around with that, so that gives me the freedom. I don't care if it's rock music, I don't care if it's pornography or whatever. Also, when you're dealing with the occult. So I think as a pastor, every Christian needs to know your Bible has everything in it that you need to know about the devil. So just stick with the scriptures, and we'll cover some things tonight. What does God want us to know about the devil? He's a created being that rebelled against God, and he is going to be the first one thrown into the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20. The devil is the first one thrown into the lake of fire. That is his end. And you can, of course, look at that later. You just need to know Satan's a created being. And, of course, we've covered the other false teachings. No, Jesus and Satan are not brothers and, you know, Mormon teaching and all that foolishness. No, he was an angel that rebelled against God. And when you, a few scripture to kind of help you, go ahead and go to Isaiah chapter 14. We're not going to look at all of these, but Isaiah chapter 14, and we're just going to look at a few here. But Isaiah chapter 14, there are 2 very descriptive sections of scripture about Satan. This is the only place in the Bible where the word Lucifer or light bearer is mentioned. This is a very descriptive passage, and I think it ought to be marked in your Bible. But watch this, Isaiah chapter 14, and look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So the Bible plainly teaches us Satan was in heaven, and then he rebelled against God, and he was cast out of heaven. Look at verse number 13. For thou, Lucifer, hast said in his heart, in thine heart, notice all of the I's in this passage. There's 5 of them. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So what was Satan's sin? Satan's sin was pride. He was God's right-hand man. Out of all the angels in heaven, there were archangels, and he was over the. He was the highest angel in heaven. The word Lucifer means light-bearer. If we had time to look at it tonight, you would find out he's the most beautiful being God created. He's covered in stones, precious stones, diamonds, emeralds. If he walked into the room, you've never seen a being like Satan, as beautiful as he is. You would be awestruck. No, there's nothing red about him. There are no horns. There is no tail with a... Oh, that's Hollywood garbage. The Bible says he's the most beautiful creature God ever created. He's covered in precious stones. And think with me, the word Lucifer means light bearer. He's God's right-hand man. And what does the Bible say God is? God is light. He was meant, through all those stones, to reflect God's light. And as God's song leader, he got proud, started thinking, man, I am beautiful. And he forgot he was not the source of light. He reflected God's light. He got proud. He rebels against God, and he says, I'll be like God. And God throws him out of heaven. It helps if you understand pride was his sin. Ezekiel 28, verses 11-19, gives you a another description of him, go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. All of this happens before creation. Genesis chapter 3. Here is, in your Bible, you've got the first thing God wants you to know about Satan. You don't find out that he's fallen from heaven until you get more than halfway through your Bible, if you were reading from Genesis straight through. But if you picked up your Bible and you didn't know anything, and you just started reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3, this is the first thing God wants you to know about the devil. And how he works in Genesis 3, he doesn't change. It continues. Notice the first thing God says in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And this serpent, the devil, is one who is a subtle, deceiving tricker. He is one who is out to manipulate. He's conniving. And that's the first thing God wants you to know, is that Satan is a deceiver. He's subtle. He doesn't look like a threat, but he's much more dangerous than he appears. Isn't that subtle? So that's the first thing God wants you to know about the devil in your Bible. Notice how he tricks Eve. Now, we went through this a little bit a couple sermons ago, but just watch this. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. Those are the first words out of Satan's mouth that God wants us to know. So what is Satan's primary function? His job is to deceive. Deceive what? Getting you to doubt what God has said, God's word. If he can get you to doubt God's word, then you won't believe God's word. And if you don't believe God's word, then God doesn't work in your life. That Satan's methods have not changed. It's still the biggest thing that he does, is getting people. What's the biggest thing our society, what's one of the pillars of our society right now? Evolution. They say a teenager does fine until they go off to a state college, and then they're taught evolution. And what is evolution designed to do? Shake your faith. You come from a monkey and God's word isn't true. They say more atheists are made from evolution than any other teaching. Yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Notice this. Just notice the progression here. And I know this isn't the study for tonight. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You can play with sin. You can disobey God. Death is not the price for it. Y'all see that? It's not that bad. Then, look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. We went through that word about last year sometime. If you'll remember, gods. And it says, knowing good and evil. They already knew good, but they didn't know evil because they were Adam and Eve, right? They hadn't sinned yet. Watch this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That same method of temptation is what Satan has not varied from. That's why I told you what's in the first 12 chapters of your Bible is mentioned for the rest of your Bible. And what God wants you to know about the devil, he still tempts us that way. The Bible's not. God didn't mean all that. God's trying to rip you off. God knows that if the day you partake of what you want to partake of, you'll be a lot smarter. And God's just trying to hold back from you. And God's trying to restrict you. God's not trying. God, that's the devil's lie. That's how the devil always works. Helps. Now, one more thing I want you to see about Genesis 3. Look at verse 15. This is the, look at the curse. Look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. When God says the snake is cursed above all animals, my uncle used to say, on the farm, the only good snakes are what? dead snake, right? He didn't care if it was a garter or king snake. Oh, that's not a poisonous snake. I remember when we were swimming in the creek one time. It didn't matter. Every snake, we saw a snake swimming in the water. My uncle went ballistic. Went up, grabbed a big trunk, and I mean, he killed every snake he saw. Me, I wasn't that. I just, because God says the serpent, we're just parking here just for a second. I think it's weird when girls play with snakes. I think that's unnatural. Girls are supposed to see spiders and go, ah. They're supposed to see snakes and go, ah, somebody help me. Okay, that's natural. But that stuff that they got on the, you know, that the media is pushing and girls with these snakes around their neck, I think that's... Understand. Now, that's not what I wanted to show you, but here he's starting the curse. So whoever the serpent had, it doesn't say how many legs it had. It just says from this point on, the serpent goes on its belly. Look at verse 15, very important. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. So the seed of Satan and the seed of the woman. Then it says, it, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So what did God say? The woman is going to have a child, and one day that child is going to crush your head. That's what happened at Calvary. So what you're going to notice now for the rest of human history is Satan is going to be looking, trying to destroy mankind, because he knows from the woman comes the Messiah that's going to crush his head. You need to know that. How come Satan is such a destroyer, and how come he's not fighting God? Because he knows God is going to use the woman to bring the Messiah into the world that'll crush his head. If you understand the curse that's on Satan, there's one more section I want you to know. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And like I said, before you look at Satanism, it would help if you had a biblical understanding of who Satan is, what his purpose is, what he's out to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You're there. Before we read that, Satan's twofold job is in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. He has a twofold job. His job is to deceive and accuse. He accuses the brethren, and he deceives. That's why there's so many false religions. Because Satan, if you don't want this way to take you to hell, Satan has hundreds of ways for you to go to hell. But if you're saved, it'll be because of the gospel. You're only saved one way. Then Satan also accuses the brethren. What's that mean? Satan says in Revelation 12, most people think Satan's in hell. He's not in hell. The Bible says he walks the earth, and he's in heaven right now. If you get to die before the rapture, you will be shocked that in heaven, you will find, the Bible says, Satan is right before the throne of God accusing us. There's that Nash guy. Did you see what he just did? See what I bet you're glad you saved him. I bet you, yeah, look what he's doing. Listen what he just said. Look what he just thought. You glad you saved him? The Bible says Satan is not in hell, sitting on a smoking brimstone throne. He's in heaven before God accusing us. And it doesn't say he's lying about us, although he is a liar. He's telling the truth. See that? Watch that? Did you hear that? Look at that! What causes the biggest strife in churches? When we lose our focus on getting people saved, and then we start focusing on each other, going, oh, but look at they're wrong, and look at they're wrong. Then we start doing the devil's work, accusing the brethren. And watch this, not even saying things that are false, saying things that are real, true. I'm so glad God knows everything about me, but it's under the blood, amen? And God doesn't, that's why it's satanic to gossip. It stirs up strife. That's the devil's work. Watch this. His twofold job is in Revelation 12. John 8:44 says, for he is a father, he's a liar, he's a murderer from the beginning, he's a liar and the father of lies. If you know the devil's a liar, and he's the master liar, he's the master deceiver, that's John 8:44. In John 10:10 it says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's a thief. He's out to, and look, Satan isn't happy when you're just not out of church, just not in church. Satan's not happy until you're destroyed. That's why his name is Apollyon, Abaddon, the destroyer. He's out to destroy you. Next, where does he work? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You need to know, where does Satan work the most? Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. We have a tendency to think, we're going to look at Satanism tonight, we have a tendency to think, yeah, Satan's at work, you know, in this witch coven, and he's at work in... The Bible plainly says he works the most in churches. How many churches in our county this past Sunday, people got up, they may have maybe not took their Bible, they went to an assembly, and they didn't hear one time how to be saved, and they haven't heard it in their church for 70 years or 100 or 150 years. Is that minister doing the work of Satan? Yes. Just telling them what the church believes, never preaching the Bible. Satan works the most in churches. Everybody needs to understand that. That is different. Because we think, oh yeah, he's in the satanic group over here, or if the church says Satan on it. Okay, most churches don't. He transforms himself. Help if we have that mindset. Where's the devil the most active? And then Matthew 13, we won't go there tonight, but verses 24 to 27, what does Satan do? He plants tares in churches. That's people that look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, talk like a Christian, but they're lost. You read it yourself. I'm not making this up. This is Matthew 13, 24 to 27 and verse 39. The Bible plainly says Satan plants tares in the church. When you hear Satanists talk, it's amazing how they teach them in the churches of Satan to infiltrate churches. This is what they say. All you got to do, just go there every Sunday and then start complaining about how long the pastor preaches. Pick something and just never let it go. Just bring it up all the time. Just bring it up. Just sow strife throughout. They teach people how to split churches, how to cause strife. Who's at the bottom of all that? Your Bible says, the devil. You are being hunted. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So you've got the devil as a lion who is roaring and trying to run your life with fear. Fear is his main tool. You're never supposed to make a decision out of fear. God doesn't lead you with fear. Satan does. Anytime you're scared, anytime you're frightened, you don't make a decision. You go, you get along with God, but you settle down. Because if the devil can get you running, he can ambush you. That's how lions work. They roar, they get the prey running, and then the young lions are waiting down here. They roar and get the prey running, and then they attack it down there and they're ambushed. Satan works the same way. Your Bible tells you, never make a decision out of fear. That's how Satan works. How is the devil defeated? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. I don't have to walk in fear of Satan. I just focus on keeping close with God, and the Lord takes care of it. But Matthew 4, Jesus taught us, how do you fight the devil? It is written. Jesus quoted scripture to the devil, and that's how he defeated him. Guess how you're supposed to defeat the devil? With your sword. Your Bible. That's how we defeat the devil. Next, how do we defeat him? Luke 10:17, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. The name of Jesus Christ is a way of defeating the devil. And Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Finally, if you resist the devil, James chapter 4, verse 4 through 8, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. He hates being told no. So when you are tempted, if you would just learn to say no, it causes the devil to run. You mean you don't want to play with sin? That's a wonderful tool. So there's ways God tells us what he is, his purpose, how to defeat him. Now, what is Satanism? Satanism is it can be in the form of witchcraft. And thanks to Hollywood, they think there's a white and a black magic, and I'll show you that in just a second. But witchcraft is more of a paganism. Paganism is the worship of nature. It is where they go out into the woods, and they dance around fires, and worship trees, and you've heard of tree-hugging, dirt-eating, green people. That's nature worship and worship of the sun, the moon, creation. That's paganism. That's what witches do, and witches, their power comes from Satan, from their spells. But they worship nature to get what they want. That's how come, I remember Sleeping Beauty, growing up, the witch on Sleeping Beauty, and in their potions, it's always Eye of Newt, moss from this tree. And it's always stuff from, it's paganism. So they use nature and worship nature and the spells involve nature to get what they want. All right. Whether they have spells of getting money or spells of influence with members of the opposite sex or however it is, their spells are to get what they want. And they use paganism. And they don't mention Satan as much, but it's still dark. It's still dark. And even, only in America do we believe in white and black magic because of Hollywood. No, there's good witches and there's bad witches. And the white witches, they do good and they don't hurt people. Only in America do we believe that. It's goofy. But now because of TV, we laugh at witchcraft. Witchcraft is entertainment. When I was growing up in the 80s, you had He-Man and you had the Smurfs. I remember, Gargamel. When you look up the listed names of demons, Gargamel's a real demon name. All of the potions that Papa Smurf would do on the Smurfs, all of those were real witchcraft. They were exposing the kids when they watched that. That's been happening for the past 40 years, 40, 50 years. They've been using cartoons to program the children. Now we're past Smurfs. We're into superheroes. Supermen. Wow, maybe I could do that. Hope I get bit by a radioactive spider. Something stupid. They're looking for superhuman abilities outside of God. And you'll notice, all of it is without God. All of it. They either have so much money or some supernatural power. They're either like Batman or Iron Man, and they're just billionaires, and they can buy anything they want. Oh, maybe I could get that much money. Or they have a superpower of some sort. We're beyond Smurfs. We're beyond Smurfs. Oh, I'd like that. White and black magic is false. It always starts out white, and they always say, well, we won't hurt anybody. And the sacrifices that we do are only animal sacrifices. They're not human sacrifices. But every witch will tell you it starts white and they lead you into the black witchcraft. It is always that way. Next, the three things that are common. Satanism has traditional Satanism and modern Satanism. I'll cover that with you here in just a second. But the witchcraft, it does not matter, or Satanism. The three things that are common in witchcraft that does not name Satan's name or Satanism, the three common denominators are lust for power, money, and pleasure, immorality, intense immorality, disturbing immorality. It's been that way for thousands of years. I'll show you why here in just a second, and blood. In witchcraft, white or black, they include blood and the slaying of animals or humans, and the drinking of the blood, because then you're supposed to, quote-unquote, gain the power from the torturous death of that animate object or whatever it is that you killed, and then in drinking its blood, you gain its power. That's in witchcraft or Satanism. It does not matter. It does not matter. So there's three common denominators. This is in all, and that's why there's no such thing as good witchcraft. That's like saying that, well, there's good bank robbers and bad bank robbers. Our thinking's whacked out, and it's all because of media and Hollywood garbage. Okay, let's look at all. It would help if we knew all witchcraft is evil. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Any type of witchcraft is rebellion, but it's amazing that we let it entertain us today. Any type of witchcraft is rebellion against God. We're not supposed to be worshiping the creature. You're supposed to be worshiping the Creator, right? Galatians chapter 5 says this, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and witchcraft is a work of the flesh." It's a work of the flesh. It does not please God. God's angry at all witchcraft. There's no such thing as good and bad. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 18. One more verse I wanted to show you on this. "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer." That's people that contact the dead and all that other garbage. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." God hates all of that. So it doesn't matter whether it's witchcraft or wizardry or Doctor Who or all of this stuff. And it's, if you'll notice, the media is getting darker and darker and darker. J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter, she wrote the books to recruit for witchcraft. That's not a preacher saying, "Oh, those are satanic." Ask her. And the recruiting for witchcraft has almost doubled in the past 12 years. "Oh, I want to join a coven. I want to..." Because all the spells that they say on the Harry Potter garbage, it's amazing to me. "Oh, I read this. My child's reading." Do you care what your child's reading? It is stuff like that that you don't want in your home. It's doorways. Well, they're saved, but they've got... Well, then I've got an open doorway. The deceit, it's bad. We get the picture. God is not happy with any of it. There is, in Satanism, there's traditional Satanism. That's where they worship a literal devil, and they worship literal demons, and that's called traditional Satanism. They believe Satan is in hell, which is false. But if enough human sacrifice is done, then Satan will be freed and then will win a rebellion because God cheated him. And this is what a traditional Satanist believes. In a nutshell, if they can cause enough human sacrifice and chaos, that Satan will come out and fight and win and be the ruler of the earth. What the Bible has to say doesn't matter. But that's what a traditional Satanist believes. Next, in modern Satanism, which is only about 60 years old, this is a self-serving hedonism. And the word hedonism means pleasure and materialism are the most important goals of your life. You feeling good and having money and the things that you want. That's hedonism. So a modern Satanist is one who worships self. Let me see if I can... They use Satan. Satan is just a symbol for hatred for Christianity and everything it stands for. When somebody says, nowadays, most people, when they say, "Oh, I want to be a Satanist," no, they don't. What they're saying is, "I hate Christianity and everything." But do they really, are they longing to pray to the devil? No. They're saying, "I hate the restrictions of Christianity." That's what they're saying. Does everybody understand there's traditional and modern Satanists? A traditional, I tried to show you some biblical traits of Lucifer. Where does the idea of Satan being a goat or the Baphomet come from? Well, in Numbers, it speaks of the scapegoat. So how did the scapegoat work? Two goats. The priest lays his hands on one goat and confesses the sins, and then the other goat, he kills and sacrifices. This goat, the scapegoat, he then releases into the woods and it's to never return. But because it was outside the city, when people would walk, they would see the goat sometimes. And they would go, "Oh, that's the devil. That's the goat that had the sins confessed on it." So the idea of the devil being a goat comes from, first of all, the scapegoat, which is mentioned in the Bible. Second of all, remember Matthew 25, the sheep and the goat nations? The sheep nations enter into the kingdom. And what makes a goat nation? How they treat Israel. Those go immediately to hell. So the idea of a goat, you'll see a goat here in a little bit, but where does the idea of Satan, goat being an image of Satan, come from? A little bit of Bible there and the symbol there. The word Baphomet, which is what the Satanists use as the symbol with the goat head and the inverted pentagram. In 1307, King Philip of France got tired of the Templar Knights. And because they were becoming very rich, so he tortured them on. Where do we get the idea of Friday the 13th? That goes back to 1307 when the Templar Knights were tortured and put to death on Friday the 13th. And while they were being tortured, they confessed to... But you learn something about torture. Whenever they're torturing you, you normally confess whatever they ask you to confess, regardless of whether you're guilty of or not. But anyways, the Templar Knights were saying, "We worship Baphomet! Baphomet!" So Baphomet, the goat head, being the devil, goes back to about 1307 as far as the name. Okay, just trying to give you a little history here. Gnosticism, which they believe salvation or spiritual elevation is attained through knowledge or esoteric or secret knowledge. And Gnosticism, remember how the devil told Eve, "God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." You'll know things that other people don't know. You'll have a secret knowledge. That's what the word esoteric or cults lean towards. We're going to teach you things that nobody else knows. We're going to teach you a hidden knowledge. That goes back to Genesis 3. Gnosticism is the worship of the mind, or we're going to teach you secret knowledge. In John 18:20, I love the verse, Jesus said, "In secret have I said nothing, have I done nothing." All these, you know, Satanists have to meet in secret. Anything you have to do in secret, you always find out it's bad. Jesus said, "I never did anything in secret." Jesus is just the opposite. Amen? Let's look at traditional Satanism. It is on the rise. People literally worshiping the devil because of media, and I'll show you why here in just a second. Openly satanic rock and rap groups, they're becoming more and more popular. They were a few in the 60s, a few more in the 70s. Now, AC/DC, Iron Maiden, and then the list just goes on. Merciful Fate, Limp Bizkit, Help Us. These are groups, weird names. Bullet for My Valentine is the name of one group. Death Spell Omega, Behemoth. All of this, it used to be in the 60s, they were just a few. Now it's much more. And with the internet, all of that satanic, these aren't people that, they're openly satanic groups. Does everybody understand? These are what suicides are linked to. It's horrible stuff. 2 million children a year reported missing, many too young to be runaways. And 5,000 unidentifiable bodies are found each year in the U.S. alone. In other words, bodies so badly mutilated, the only way they can find out what it is or who it is by DNA testing, because it's so badly cut up and mutilated. Most police officers will tell you they see the Satanism in our society. But the courts, when they start trying what they're doing to these children, when the children start testifying, they've had juries just walk out saying, "I'm not going to have anything to do with this." It's so disturbing, the juries can't even handle it. And they're saying, nothing that bad could happen to a child. But the child is sitting here saying, "No, this is what they did to me." You ask your police officers, you get a lot more numbers. 2 million, do y'all realize that's over 5,000 a day? A day, that's just in America. So traditional Satanism with the human sacrifice and blah, 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 and the blood and all that stuff is on the rise. It is not on the decline because of several things. There is a immoral acts and the drinking of blood from innocent victims is supposed to give them power, and that's what they do it for. The gradual slide into Satanism whenever you talk to somebody that's involved in it. It was interesting. I heard some testimonies of people that used to be in Satanism. Now they're saved. But they spoke of the gradual slide into Satanism. This is what they did. This is what they talked about. It starts with rock and rap music. And that doesn't mean that everybody that listens to rock music is a Satanist. But that gets you started. Then it goes into the Ouija boards. Then the TVs and the movies and the video games. Then they start playing around with ESP and thinking they can move things with the mind. There's so much stuff on the internet right now dealing with metaphysical magicians. Somebody sent me a link to one. It was this guy talking to these three kids, and one of them said, I wish your nose was bigger. He said, you want my nose bigger? It was scary to me. The guy took his nose, and he lengthened it. And no, it wasn't Photoshop. It wasn't none of that. It came out like that far. I said, that is Satanism. Anything that causes, they had guys taking ropes, starting in the back, stretching them, and then popping them all the way through their body, whole. Anything that's metaphysical is satanic. That means a demon is involved. Do you understand? Overrides natural physical laws. There's so much of that stuff, and it's on the rise. People are playing with it, teenagers and all this stuff. UFOs started in the 40s with Aleister Crowley and Jack Parsons of NASA, the demons behind the UFO movement. There's no such thing as life on other planets. There never has been. It was started inspecting UFOs and all of that. It was started by hardcore cultic Satanists. That was back in the 40s, and that's a research you can do. Then it goes into the magic, then witchcraft, Satanism, and finally the immorality and the blood. But they speak of the gradual slide into it, and our society's filled with it. Satan is not going to get the majority of people to follow traditional Satanism. So he comes up with an alternative. So everybody remember, there's traditional Satanism. Now let's look at modern Satanism. Modern Satanism started with Anton LaVey. He was born 1930, died of insanity in 1997, and scared of germs and all this stuff, just like Howard Hughes, Hubble, Nietzsche, all those people who make war against God, die horrible deaths. Anton LaVey, starter of the Church of Satan, was one of them. He didn't die a happy way. He started in San Francisco in 1966. And there's his picture. And of course, there's the inverted pentagram with the point of it pointing towards hell. And the outside of it means Leviathan. And so there's Anton LaVey. Looks like a wonderfully happy person, doesn't he? He was very humanistic. Watch this. The head of the Church of Satan. Listen closely, because this is where we're going tonight. He didn't believe in a literal God or Satan. And when you read the satanic Bible that he wrote, he said, we don't believe in Satan. He said, I'll show you some quotes here from him. He was a follower of Aleister Crowley in 1844. He died in 1947. Aleister Crowley came up with the statement, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And he was known as, in England, he was a bisexual heroin addict who bragged about breaking all the commandments of God. And his mother called him the beast. Okay, when your mother calls you that, help us. You know what I mean? And the newspaper in England called him the wickedest man that has ever lived on the earth. He died in 1947. That's Aleister Crowley. Came up with the do what thou wilt. Just do what you want to do. That was his Satanism. Anton LaVey is also a follower, so he's a follower of Aleister Crowley and of Friedrich Nietzsche, who said God is dead. And he died in 1900. These two men, he followed one more, they said God is dead, and I'm not going to go into what Nietzsche wrote, but he said if God is dead, then absolute truth, morals, and everything else is dead. And it should terrify us. So he declares God's dead and blah, blah, blah. And I'll just let you know. Does everybody see? You've got the head of the Church of Satan in 1966 following do what thou wilt. God is dead. And he follows one more person. He was a follower of Marquis de Sade, who lived in the early 1800s. He was French. And he believed we should not suppress natural urges and desires. That's where we get the word sadism from, is from de Sade, which is people who, I guess, get enjoyment from humiliating or torturing people. That's what the word sadism means. Marquis de Sade said, if it feels good, do it. Don't suppress any desires. You've got the head of the Church of Satan following Marquis de Sade, Aleister Crowley, and Friedrich Nietzsche. All of these are humanist people that say we want to do whatever we want. We don't believe in Satan. We don't believe in God. We just want to do what we want to do. Watch this. Anton LaVey said, we worship greed, lust, and selfishness. That's the head of the Church of Satan. He said, we don't worship Satan. He said, Satan's just a figurehead. He said, we worship us. We worship self. He said, Satan represents self-indulgence, vengeance, all of the sins as they lead to physical, mental, and emotional gratification. This is an excerpt from the Satanic Bible. Here's the mentality. The choice not to believe in God means there's no absolutes and nothing to set any boundaries defining right from wrong. It only matters what I want and what I think will make me happy. That's modern Satanism. Everybody understand? This is what was mind-blowing to me. It's not a glorification of Satan. They're not looking. They'll say Hail Satan because they'll even tell you. We say Hail Satan in the church, Hail Satan, because we've got an image to uphold. But we don't care about Satan. All we want is for Christianity to be exterminated. So that's why they infiltrate churches and they degrade church auditoriums. When we were in Tennessee, a church that was 3 miles from us, a group of teenagers broke in and it was 3 miles from us. Praise the Lord, but our pastor talked with that pastor and they'd come in, they'd use the bathroom everywhere in the church auditorium. The whole idea was to make the church unusable. That was their plan. They weren't thinking Satan at all. They were just thinking we want to exterminate Christianity. If Christian values can be destroyed, then man can continue, this is the way they think, then man can continue to evolve into supermen who don't have a God, but they have the morals of God. You're like, you know, you don't want somebody just randomly killing everybody, so they got to have some morals. This is their thinking. Christians, if Christians would just get out of the way, look, in the 60s it was the sexual revolution. Then in the 70s and 80s, homosexuality started coming in. Now we're dealing with transgenderism and pedophilia and then the bestiality and the cannibalism. They say this, if you Christians would just get out of the way, what do they call you when you are not supportive of homosexuals? They're saying, you're not evolving with everybody. No, I'm holding to Bible values. No, God hates homosexuality. Oh no, you need to evolve with us. That's why Hillary Clinton says, for progressives to take place, we have to get rid of Christianity. It's in the way. It's blocking what we want to do. Satanists say the same way. We've got to get rid of biblical thinking so that we can evolve. That's modern day Satanism. Everybody see that? Hopefully you can recognize that in the news and media. So it's not the worship of Satan. Although this is a real, it's real and it creates many problems. Modern Satanism is the worship of self. And that is by the Church of Satan. Watch this. False determining value system. Satan promised you'll know good and evil. Values, this is what they say, values are not to be imposed from without. Not God, not the Bible, not your parents, society, or their government. Values must be subjectively discovered from within. In other words, whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. That's what they're saying. It's the worship of self. That's going to lead you to relativism. That means your opinion based on values, morality, standards, priorities, etc. In other words, it's just relative. It just depends. Is lying right? Well, it just depends. If good will come from it, then tell a lie. But if bad will come from it, then yeah, don't tell a lie. It's always wrong to tell a lie. But relativism says, watch this. Value clarification, situation ethics. Just decide what's right for you. That's how come when you try to tell people sometimes, well, God says this is sin. No. It's wrong if I think it's wrong. But if I think it's right, then it's right. I am my own God. Everybody see that? No absolute truth of values. What is right is now wrong, and what was wrong is now right. There's nothing absolute. Next, doctrinal ambiguity. Truth changes. It means something different now. Well, I know that's what it used to say, but we've changed it. No, truth should be absolute. The Bible should be absolute. Truth is what we determine it to be. And then even breaking the law is okay if it's to our advantage. That's Satanism. That's the way they talk. Now that I've done that and laid a ground for this, I read to you Isaiah 14 and all of the eyes. Satan had an eye problem. That's how come he got cast out of heaven. That tells me this. Satan doesn't want you to do what he wants you to do. You know what he really wants? He wants you to do what you want to do. Satan doesn't care if you do what he... Satan doesn't care if you go sacrifice an animal or if you just waste your life. Just do what you want to do any way you want to do it. That's what Satan wants. He's not looking for you to make an altar and sacrifice to him. He just wants you to do what you want to do. Isn't that how he tricked Eve? Right? Just do whatever you want. God wants you to do his will for your life. Satan says, no, don't do God's will. Just do whatever you want to do. Whenever you sin, you don't do it for Satan. You do it for you. Nobody in here, you've never been selfish and self-centered for Satan. You've been self-centered and selfish for you. You never said, all glory to Satan. Me. Think about what I'm saying. And it's amazing. This isn't a preacher saying, well, I think Satanists believe this. This is by their own words. We don't believe in Satan. We believe in us. That's modern Satanism. You've never looked at pornography for Satan. You look at pornography for you. You've never listened to bad music for Satan. This is just what the devil wants me to do. It's what you wanted to do. I'm glad y'all are getting it. I'm glad you're picturing it. Sin is when you do what you want to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It doesn't say to the devil's way. You sinned, I sin when I do what I want to do. When I kick God off of the throne and I decide I'm running the show. Nobody tells me what to do. We're all rebels since the fall. Amen? Every one of us have a problem with that. Are we going to do what we want to do, or are we going to do what God wants us to do? When you do what you want to do, you're doing what Satan wants you to do. Living for self accomplishes Satan's goal for your life. Because he doesn't care what you do as long as you don't live for God. Well, I want to do this, and I do everything except what God saved you to do. Satan never argues with you about what sin to commit. He doesn't say, you know, cussing would be a lot better than thinking that bad thought. He doesn't care what you do. He just wants you to do what you want to do. Satan's will is for you to do your will. That's Satan's will. Satan wants you to do anything but what God wants you to do. All Satan wants is for you to not do what God wants. But whether it's go rob a bank or murder somebody, he doesn't care. Just don't do what God saved you to do. Just don't do God's will. Satan doesn't care what you talk about as long as you don't give the gospel. You say, well, I don't talk bad. Satan is just for you to not witness. But other than that, well, I didn't cuss. I didn't. Our purpose is to give the gospel. Just a couple more. Satan doesn't care what you read as long as you don't read your Bible. Well, it wasn't bad. Read the paper. You can read other books. Satan doesn't care what you read as long as you don't pick up that book. Because that book is the only book that has life in it. The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. A few more. Satan doesn't care if you sleep in on Sunday morning or rob a bank, just as long as you don't go to church. What does Satan care? He just doesn't want you to do right. He's trying to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Titus chapter 2, and I wanted to take a subject, and this is as practical as I could make it. I know this sermon has helped me. This Bible study has helped me. But notice the difference in Christianity. In Titus 2, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, the same thing that saved you, hath appeared to all men, and it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we're supposed to deny the wrong that's in us. I wanted to bite somebody's head off today. I was seeing red. I needed to deny myself. I didn't need to follow through with everything I wanted to do. That's Christianity. I have feelings that I'm not supposed to yield to. The grace that saved me taught me that. Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12. Let's look at just one more. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Run from it. Don't flirt with it. Run from it. Get as far away from it as you can. Don't give in to it. That's what Satanism does. That's where the immorality and the filth and the disturbing things come up with. 1 Timothy 6:11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Work at being good. Work at yielding to God, but flee the wrong." Amen? Everybody see how it's opposite? Satan says, "No, just give in. You can have the power now." And the power of Satan never comes free. If you saw those, some of the musicians and the things that they're doing, they give themselves to the devil so they can do these weird miracles, and then when Satan's done with them, Satan kills them. There's nothing free. He's a liar. He's a murderer. But anything Satan gives, it's not for free. 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Make sure you tonight, Satan and Satanism. Yes, there is a traditional Satanism, and I was going to end it. Satan is real, and you need to put on the armor of God every day, but your biggest problem isn't Satan. I promise. Your biggest problem is your flesh, and your biggest problem is you. Amen? My biggest struggle in my Christian life is the one I see when I look in the mirror. And every day I have to overcome him. Amen? That's Christianity. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please use...